Is that true? Are you not who you used to be? By the way, got news for you. You're not what you're going to be either. It gets better all the way down the line. You know, it just keeps getting better and better. But one day, I haven't been there yet. That's kind of evident. But one day, you step off of planet Earth and you step into heaven. Then you made it. All you're ever going to be. Hallelujah. I like that song. Thank you for leading us in that praise time. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2, we will be there today. I just want to encourage you. God's blessing, folks. God is blessing. And we're seeing people baptized all the time. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, we can be a lot of things, doing a lot of things and all that stuff. But if we aren't leading people to faith in Jesus Christ, we're failing. We're just flat out failing. We call it whatever we want to, droughts and slumps and, you know, we got all kinds of names for them. It's really failure, okay? We've been with a series of sermons on deliverance, looking at God's people. God's people who came out of Ur of the Chaldees, through Haran, down to Canaan, and was there for a while, and wasn't actually, well, I don't want to go that direction because that's not the direction we're going today. And we picked up with a man named Joseph that was favored of God, and how that step by step by step, God brought deliverance. By the way, I want you to, if you don't get anything else, if you fall asleep early in the sermon, I want you to remember something. God delivers. You'll never face anything God can't deliver you from. Now, we find in chapter 1, verse 8, I think it is. Yeah. In verse 8, now there arose a king, my translation says, a new Pharaoh. That Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. He did not know Joseph. So, by the way, not too smart a bird either. I find all kind of flaws in this dude. Right off the bat, he looks around and he says, you know, we got to do something. We've got all these Hebrews. Now, all this time they've been there, they're still Hebrews. Have you noticed that about the Jewish people? No matter what country they're in, no matter how long they've been there, you know, some have been in Russia for eons and they're still Jews. They're here in the United States. Some have been here a long time, but they're still Jews. Well, they're still Hebrew and they're a little bit bothersome. In fact, this old boy, he has more confidence in them than God has. Now, we're going to look in a little while, not today, but in a little while, two or three Sundays from now, we will look at the fact that when God delivers 2 million of them out of Egypt, he's afraid to take them the shortest route. This is God's translation. He's afraid they'll see war, and they don't know how to fight. They've been 400 years with no fighting. And so he says they'll turn around and run back to Egypt. Now, this guy is saying, you know what? They're stronger than we are, and they're more in number than we are. Now, I don't think he had taken a census lately since he became Pharaoh, but he says, we've got to do something. Now, do you know that the Word of God says that, chapter 1, verse 5, just ahead of that, all those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. For Jacob was in Egypt already. And Jacob died, and all his brothers and all of that generation lived on. But the children of Israel were fruitful. 70 people came from Cana to Egypt. And Now, here's a Pharaoh scared to death of them. Thought just went through my head. Let me think of it. Let me look this thing over. I may not ought to say it. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think God's people ought to disturb any community they're in. They ought to know we're here. They ought to be accounting of us. They didn't know. These people were making their mark. I don't want to shock anybody. You know how they were doing that? Making babies. That's right. This guy says, we got to stop this baby making business. Sounds like the good old U.S. of A., doesn't it? You know, his plan, I don't know, our plan may be worse than his plan. Really? His plan was, hey, the midwives, I tell you what I want you gals to do. Do we have any of those in the congregation? Don't recognize any, okay? What I want you to do is every time a male child is born, you take him down to the Nile River and feed him to the crocodiles. Now, from the river to the Riviera, that's Moses. From the river to the Riviera. he didn't check his plan out too good because these gals all feared God. Yeah, I'm having all of these thoughts. I must not have thought of this sermon as much as I should have thought of it when I was preparing it. Now these are midwives. Do you think you could watch a child born? How many of you have ever been in, you know, when we were in that stage of life, they wouldn't even let me go in and hold her hand. You know, they wouldn't let me slap her around so she'd hurry up and get with the business or nothing like that. But, you know, I remember that first one, old Kendall. I got up to the place and was going to have a pop, and about time I got to pop out of the machine, the doctor came out and said, hey, Smith, that's me. Said, you got a boy. Now, side thought, one old boy that was there, been there 24 hours, he said, no, it can't be his, he just got here. Well, I told him, you just go down there and get after her and bawl her, tell her off, tell her to get busy and have that baby, and she'll do it. And he got up and leave. I had to hold him back. But anyway, I'll get to my point. Went down to that nursery, and they brought that little bundle out there. You know, do you think I could ever not believe in God after that? Wow. Wow. Looked just like me. Red-faced. Bald-headed. Looked just like me. Now, I told her she must improve on the next one, and she did. He had lots of hair. Listen. These women were afraid of God. If you ever see that miracle of birth and that bundle of joy, and you sense in your heart and your soul that responsibility, God has placed this in my life to guide, to direct. Wow. How God must trust me. Now, so they're all disturbed about this baby thing. And so the Pharaoh, he just says to everybody, you see a male Hebrew child, you make sure he gets thrown in the river. What a horrible plan. Now I'm going to get serious and I'm going to apologize before I do that. I do not intend in any fashion of the word to hurt anyone's feelings. That is not my purpose to be in here. My purpose to here is to proclaim the truth. And I want you to know that we will go through. There's just not anything God can't do. We're going to look at that today. There's not anything God can't do. But I want to tell you, here in the good old U.S. of A., we've got a plan. when they come down the birth canal, they'll stick a tube in the back of their head right here and suck their brain out and use that brain matter as makeup base. That's not a good plan. I just can't think about it. Precious life. Well, he passes a degree. By the way, let's pray that God will help this nation get past that terrible thing. And he passes, says this, you know, anytime there's a male child born, make sure it gets to the river. Well, now, our text. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. Now, this is not intermarriage, folks. Levi is a tribe, a special designated tribe that God has set aside to proclaim, to be the priest, to be the worship leaders, to be the spiritual leaders. And so here's a man of that household, and he selected a wife of that tribe. By the way, kindly makes them special people. So the woman conceived and bore a son. Now, this is one of those places in the Word of God, if you're kind of checking it out, this is one of those places in the Word of God where you understand that not everything is in chronological order. Now, if you read just that verse, you would think that woman had just, that was her first child, right? Did it read that way to you? When she puts Moses, whom she did not name, when she puts Moses in this little wicker basket and seals it with pitch and tar and puts it in the Nile River, who does she appoint to go see what happens? His sister. So, she already has some children. This doesn't mean Moses is her first child. Okay. But she has Moses, okay? Well, let's get back to, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, I think she'd have hit him anyway, don't you? If he'd have been as ugly as some of ours were, I think she'd have hit him anyway. But anyway, for 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, he learned to cry real loud. She took an ark of bulrush for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done of him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the river beside. They were watching for her, by the way. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. What do y'all call that? He bawled. Okay. He was bawling. She could hear it. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister, y'all know her name, don't you? Miriam. Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the river, from the river to the river era." Think about this child. I mean, here one day, he is in danger of someone throwing him in the river and killing him. The next day, he is in the highest palace in Egypt. Let me tell you a little story. There was a family in Fort Wayne, and they chose to adopt a child. I think that adoption took place in the Now I can't remember. My secretary's here. Hun, where's Dennis Weiss from? You forgot where she's from too? Okay. The Ukraine. She's from Ukraine. And that's where they were. There because the guy who went over there to adopt this child, his dad had a 5,000 acre sunflower patch. And Dan's a farmer, pretty good sized sunflower patch, wouldn't you think, 5,000 acres? Had his own sunflower oil mill there. And so the day came that this man and his wife from Fort Wayne went to the Ukraine, to Kiev, and went to the orphanage. And at the orphanage, they went in, and there stood a precious little boy. Precious little boy. And they said, "We've come to adopt you." And this kid just lit up. You'd understand. Just lit up. Mom and dad both dead. And so now they're hugging, getting acquainted. Of course, they have to have a translator. And the lady that ran the institution came out and said, "Oh, no, that's not your child. That's not your child. We're bringing your child out now." One minute and the next. And do you know what? The Kellys adopted both boys. Here's a kid that's an orphanage with very dim future. One minute. The next minute, he's living a part of one of the richest families in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You know the Kelly dealerships? Those guys. Here, one minute Moses is in the river. Everything sort of, that's kind of comical, isn't it? The little arc of a thing, everything's kind of toddling. You just don't know which way it's going. The next minute, he's in Pharaoh's palace. You can't live any higher. By the way, just give God a hand. God did it. God did it. God can do it. I want you to remember that. God can do it. No one but God could do that. Pharaoh said, "Throw him in the river." He moves into Pharaoh's house. And watch this. We just need to learn to trust God. We just need to learn to walk in God's leadership, in God's direction. He can do it. And Pharaoh's daughter needed some help. Got it? Now, she's got a baby 3 months old. I don't think they had carnation milk back then. Or what's that other? Pablum or something like that. My wife was always so good at that, I let her take care of all of it. So she's got to have some help. Listen, you'll never, never, never be at the place that God can't provide what's needed. Got it? Now, I want to throw this in right here now while you understand that God can, if we obey Him. How come that little old girl's there anyhow? Her mom put her there. I think her mom put her there because God wanted her there. I think God knew. Thank God knew. I know that God knew. God knew that Pharaoh's daughter was going to see that little old ark floating in the reeds there and was going to have a soft heart towards that little old boy, and he was going to need somebody to nurture him. Now, the mom didn't know that. But God knew that. But the mom said, go down there and watch and see what goes on. So, she did. And then she was Jane on the spot. Would you like for me to go see if I can find a Hebrew woman that would nurse this child for you? Since you can't nurse this child and since the store's out of milk? Yeah, why don't you do that? Guess who? You read the text. Moses' mom, the baby's mom. Now, she's got a lot of milk. She's ready. She needs the job. By the way, I'm going to throw something ahead of time. Now, we won't stay here very long, but listen to me. A few years from now, Sir Moses is going to write 5 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Go read them. Let me give you a little taste. Watch this. Now, these, verse 1 in chapter 1. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All of these who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Okay, now you can go to some other places that'll give you the genealogies that'll name about 400 people after each one of these guys. And Moses puts them all down. Wow. Where did he get this? See, God can't he? Back there when he was just a child. And his mother, I bet she nursed that kid till he's 4 years old. He learned. He heard. And now, I'm going to couple that. We'll couple that with this. And Pharaoh's court, he got the best education that could be obtained anywhere in the world. People came from all over the world to the great libraries of Egypt and the great teachers of Egypt to learn. And Moses had access to that. And he had a good mind. Now, let's go back to that bloodline just for a second. Now, a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife of the daughters of Levi. Had that bloodline. Trained, educated. They were the most trained, educated people in all of the Hebrews. Now here's Moses. God's preparing. God's making a way. Listen, we worry and fret and fumble about it. All of the things that are not our doings, they're God's doings. We need to let God take care of it. So what do we do? Well, we get us a good hammock, find us 2 good trees. No, we're busy. Listen, folks, listen, we're busy. We're busy putting the daughters in a spot. We're busy putting the sons in a spot. We're busy, ready to do whatever God appoints us to do because God knows how to do it just right. Just right. Let's let him do it. As a church, we need to just let God do it through us. We need to be ready. Now, I found that to be a little bit of a difficult task here. Now, if you're a visitor to this, you folks, just don't listen. Okay, just don't listen. Because we've seen need here. We see that all the time. Golly, we need to visit. Don't we? We need to be reaching out to folks. Don't we? We need to be saying to people that live next to us, hey, we've got the best little old church in the world. You need to come go to church with me. We need to pray. I wonder, do you suspect Moses' mom ever lay down at night in that 3 months that he was there, hid without praying, "Oh, Father in heaven, Yahweh God, watch after my son. Take care of my boy." And all the time, God had it all worked out. Glory. I'm excited about it. I don't know about you guys. Okay. Now, we got to go on. And Pharaoh got all excited about how many there were. They started multiplying even the more. And they multiplied and they multiplied. By the way, 40 years later, they are over 2 million strong. That's pretty good multiplying, isn't it? When Moses finally leads them out of the east side of Goshen towards the land called Canaan, they were over 2 million strong, okay? I want to make 2 points. One, love your children. You'll do no greater than love your children. Your greatest mission field is your own home, your own family. Now, your family may be like our family. Your sons may be scattered all over the United States, your grandchildren scattered all over the United States and other places, and your great-grandchildren scattered even more than that. You love them. You love them. You don't let a day go by to what you don't bring them before the throne of Almighty God, who can do anything. You love them. Love your children. And surrender them to God's plan. The most disturbing thing I've dealt with in these 60 years of ministry is the families, the adults, who did not want their children involved in God's plan. Ooh. Do you suppose somebody could improve on God's planning? Sometimes I've wondered, Lord, what in the world are you doing? But you know what? You stay with it a little while. It's okay. God's got a great, great plan. Okay. It always works. That's why it's great. And by the way, God does the impossible easily. I know you're not like this. Now, I'll give you that. You are not like this. But there's been some times in my life when I said, God, you're not getting this done right, and I took it over. I see on your face, some of you kind of got caught in that too, didn't you? Okay. Number 2. Trust God with what you can't see. Trust God with what you can't see. Now, I'm going to make an honest confession and do a slap on the back. I had a supervisor one time that said, be sure to give the roses while the people are still living. They don't help the casket one bit. When Brother Jimmy walked in my office over on Keystone Drive in Fort Wayne and said, I want you to help start a church over in Huntington. I told him right quick, we already had a good church in Huntington. So? Then he described what kind of church he's wanting to start. I said, wait a minute. I just don't think that's going to work. I bet you heard that once or twice after that. You know why it worked? Because that's what God wanted. And God could see 2016. Now, I'd have sure enough talked him out of it if I could have looked at August 2016. But I couldn't. God can be trusted with the impossible. Let me ask you, folks, are you looking at something just totally impossible today? Something in your life's got you buffaloed, collared down. It's totally impossible. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I don't know how to fix it. Trust God with it. Oh, listen. I'm going to advocate you come this morning, get on your knees in this altar and say, all right, God, here's this whole rotten wagon load of a mess. You take it. He'll take it. That's the amazing thing. He'll take it and he'll fix it. Okay. They were trusting. She was trusting God for the security of Moses. Now he's secure. Now they're not going to throw him to the alligator or the crocodiles. Now he's not going to die in the Nile River. They trusted God with the education of Moses. And there was an ally for the Hebrew people in the court of Pharaoh. Can you trust God? Let's expand that just a nudge. Can we, New Life Fellowship, can we trust God? Yes. Amen. You know, I really think to be what God wants us to be, to do what God wants this fellowship to do, I think he's going to bring us to the place that we won't have anything else to do or anywhere else to go but trust him. And oh, hallelujah, to watch him work. To watch him work. I'm not going to take time to take you through some of the things you'll see when you trust God. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to call on you, New Life Fellowship folks. You whom the God has brought this way. You whom God has brought together. You whom God has said, I've got a plan for you and I'm going in this way with you. I want you to follow me. I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to ask you to come forward as an indication, just to show. Now, I made a reflection a little bit ago. We're not getting much response, and right here is where we're not getting it. I'm going to ask you to come forward and say, all right, I'm ready to turn this whole shebang, in case you don't want to shebang it, that's the whole show, over to God. And let's watch him lead us, and we'll go where he wants us to go, and we'll do what he wants us to do. I'm going to be down here. We're going to have an invitation played on the there.